sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Now I'm John.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Milk and Cereal. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, give our first thoughts, but then we're going to do a deep spoiler analysis. But first, it's the end of the year again, John. Happy 2025 as we record this. In December 8th.
So to give context at home, I have all these reaction thingies, which are kind of like live, what do you call it? Like in chats, like especially like on Apple users have these options on chats, like hold down on your text bubble and then react a certain way. And it'd be like, oh, balloons or... Like, you say happy birthday. And,
yeah.
And, I just like to abuse him while Rolando's trying to talk. I'm sure he feels pretty bad. At, like, he probably doesn't like it.
Yeah, I'm getting a thumbs down. I'm getting a thumbs up from John, but his thought bubble is a thumb down. So I'm getting conflicting messages.
I don't know. Anyway. It's the end of the year, baby.
Yes, and as always, like we did last year and probably the preceding years, we will reveal our top 5 horror movies that we saw and released in 2024. So, I guess we should preface this by saying that this is only, like, this isn't a definitive list because, you know, we can't watch, like, every horror movie that releases in 1 year. That'd be crazy. So... this is more of just a sampling of the year for us, just, you know, normal human skeletons that we are. So, John, I guess my first question would be, what was your overall thought or opinion of the year in horror?
2024, a year in horror, but not horror movies. Everything around the world is horrific except for the movies coming out. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some gems. I'm happy that Terrifier got a third movie. I like those movies, but I'm not going to put them in like a top 10. I'm sorry. They have their...
one of the biggest, most financially successful movies this year.
Yeah.
Independently made. Yep.
I don't know. We had some gems, though. We have some movies. We have... I'm going to say one movie that is going down as one of my top 10 movies of all time now.
Okay. Lisa Frankenstein.
Satchel Gorman.
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretty underwhelming.
Yeah.
Did we have any like big franchise movies come out? Not this year, right? I guess like Alien Romulus, right?
Huh? Yeah, I was going to say, would you consider Smile horror?
Smile? That, yes.
Yeah. That came out this year, technically, oh, right. But we haven't reviewed it yet. No. Gotten around to it. Also, again, there's like, we also, because of when we're recording and when we're doing the list, like, we haven't seen Nosferatu 2, right? So that's like a big horror movie as well. But you're right, yeah, Alien Romulus, we didn't review. I tend to think of those movies more as science fiction, but yeah, I understand that it's also horror.
So what could we didn't review Smile 2 this year.
Right. We will eventually review it.
Probably.
Hopefully soon. Probably. or even Nosferatu 2. At some point, Nosferatu 2, I'm sure we're going to review, considering the hype around it. And I think that's one of the things, like all the movies that were hyped, I was more or less let down by.
Same.
A big one. Well, I don't want to review any movies, but the movies generally, you know, like A24 may release something, or Neon, or
you feel IFC like films. Certain movies were lacking substance, or
maybe they're a little short legged.
Question, because we haven't reviewed Smile 2 yet. Can we still put that on our list for our next year's reviews? Or
we can do whatever we want. But I mean, technically it was released this year. It just came out at a time where like it wasn't possible for us to go and watch it. But I like the list. I will say this about my list. I like all of them. I think it's a strong list of movies, but there was no like clear one runaway film that I thought, wow, this movie was clearly the best movie in horror I saw. Like, what was it last year? Was it Talk to Me, right? Like that was a excellent movie that just we saw within the summer, and it just stayed that way for the rest of the year. So
I have a feeling, I haven't seen it yet, obviously, because we haven't reviewed it yet, but I have a feeling Smile 2 is going to be a huge step up from Smile 1, the original Smile. Just purely speculating. And quite possibly might be excellent. And have a fucking amazing ending, so.
So my,
a lot of speculation. A lot of speculation.
My speculation is, I am concerned that it's going to be more of the same. They won't add anything new. That would be my only concern, because I was very surprised and amazed by Smile. Mm-hmm. So my fear would be it's going to be just more of the same. It's not really going to add anything to it. That would be my fear going
in.
I
would speculate, having not seen it yet, that it would surprise you and also potentially pick up right after the first one. If you can recall who stays alive.
Right. Yeah.
And has a...
I don't, but...
a pretty cool way of wrapping that up quickly in the cold open.
Okay.
I don't know.
Speculated.
I've seen it.
So, all right, talking a lot about Smile too. So, just, all righty, we should just get into our top five. John, what is your number five?
I have a couple of honorable mentions.
Okay.
Just two, and I'm just going to name them. I'm not going to go into why. I still got to give Longlegs something. I just couldn't put it in a top five.
Okay.
Because it did fall a little short.
Why did it fall short?
There was the whole is it, isn't it sort of ending just kind of fell flat with me. I think Perkins should have gone with one direction or the other.
Mm.
Because then it kind of made a lot of what we saw before almost seem useless, but I don't know. Like, maybe there'll be a second one.
I would echo the same sentiment. I was let down by the third act, though I found the movie to be really well made and like a visceral experience. I just was not a fan of the third act. And the more I think about Nicolas Cage's performance, the more it's just sort of seeing it for the first time is very striking, but the more I think about it, I feel like it's less substantive than what's there. It's kind of like a big, for me, it's like a big shocking moment, like a Hannibal Lecter or like a, you know, something like those lines, but without the right, same punch. But
I don't know. Because I was going to say, I think he went out of his way and he kind of improvised those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the singing bits of just how like, oh, this guy's gonna be into glam metal which is like a weird choice. I like it though.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what else?
Yep. Cuckoo, which
Cuckoo. Yeah.
I wish I just liked it more, but it was just a straight creature feature.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. I would have put it in my top five, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool. Anything else?
No, just thought that those two. Potentially Smile 2 could have been in this top, but I haven't seen it. coming in at number 5 for Johnny's top 5 horror movies of 2024. And an upset for Rolando Alvarez, Trapped.
What?
Trapped, directed by M. Night Shyamalan, with a standout acting performance by Josh Hartnett.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad it's different. We're not gonna have the same movies. That's good.
I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. It's silly. I liked it a lot.
I'll give two quick honorable mentions. I think The Substance is probably the one that got the most mainstream attention outside of Longlegs, right?
Yeah.
And it just felt a little short for me. I did enjoy it and like what it was, but it just didn't resonate as much with me, I'll just say. But the other movie I wanted to say quickly was Be Somewhere Quiet. Small indie. No, Maxine won't be on my list. But that's another movie that had a bunch of hype behind it that I think fell pretty much flat. I liked it less. But Somewhere Quiet, I really liked. It kind of was a surprise, came out of nowhere for me. I liked the story. I liked the acting. I thought it was really had a lot of tension and mood to it. But it just fell a little short, I think. I like my 5 that I picked.
Just to recap, this is the one about the gentleman who's alone in his trailer and there's a storm happening?
No, this is the one where the girl was taken hostage and then has like PTSD and her husband takes her out to the cabin and or whatever, and then she starts having
the husband is doing
other stuff. I really liked it. I thought it was a very, very effective movie for me.
Oh, she was fantastic. But
my number 5, I wonder if this will surprise you. My number 5 is Abigail.
Oh, I didn't think it was gonna make a top 5 at all, to be honest.
I just feel like it's one of those movies that the trailer gave away the twist of the movie, so you already kind of knew what you were going into with the movies, but I think Abigail really delivered on its premise. It's just a fun B-movie horror.
Yeah.
So. Okay. John, what is your number 4?
My number 4, surprisingly, is Abigail.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I was going to say the director is Matt Bettinelli, Alpin, and Tyler Gillette, I think, knew how to have fun with a movie.
Yeah.
Right? And standout fucking actors were Alicia Weir as Abigail. She was fucking great. She was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Kevin Durant. I was like, damn, he was fucking great. He was so funny. Also, R.I.P. Angus Cloud. This would be his swan song, I think. And he was great.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. My number 4 is Exhuma, which I liked quite a bit. The latest South Korean horror movie. I like that it is kind of a bloody folktale that is balanced, I think, with the good story. It has a lot of heart in it. And though I think the story is a little dense on lore, maybe too much, right? But I think that there's a... actors in it are really likable, and the characters, and it just seems like a really cool movie. So Exhuma would be my number 4 movie.
Okay, cool. Interesting. So my number 3 movie is Exhuma, directed by Jang Jo-hyun. And I was going to say a stand-up performance by Choi Min-sik, who was the main guy. He was great. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was a little dense, but I also appreciated there was... it was kind of long, right? It was 2 hours, 20 minutes, and you never really could guess where this story was going. Every time you thought you knew what the movie was, Like, I did not expect it to turn into a spoiler, turn into a supernatural movie. I was like, oh shit, okay.
Right, yeah. It's crazy. It had a lot of, like, there's almost two movies in here. Like you could just do separately.
Three or four, kind of. Yeah, like,
yeah.
It started off seeming like a con or a scam to cover up a murder or like a series of murders. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's cool.
Cool. So that was your number three, right?
Yes.
And my number three movie. Now I feel like we are going to have the same. My number three movie is First Omen. I think it's one of those movies that it's a prequel worth watching. I think it has stunning visuals in it. It's a body horror movie. But I think the film's standout is Neil Tiger-Free.
Yeah.
She easily turns in a very like physical performance that I still think about. Like, I just couldn't believe the level of performance that was in this movie that is a prequel to The Omen, of all things. So, really fun movie. That was my number three.
That was such a good movie. It was going to make my honorable mentions, but there, I don't know why I'm still... I should just get over it. I'm still weirded out by, like, how immaculate it was, the same movie.
it's the same movie.
Bad. There's something weird about it.
Yeah. Anyway.
My number two
is
Late Night with the Devil, directed by Cameron and Colin. I don't know how to say their last name. Sorry, guys. Cicernes, I'm going to say. And then, of course, standout actors in this are obviously David Desmalchian. He's fucking fantastic. And Reese Alteri is like little sidekick guy. That was just what a great movie. It's a lot of fun.
Right.
Straight to the point. There is a little bit of like a backstory, but just enough to either make you hate or like the person, right?
Right.
Good stuff.
My number two movie is Late Night with the Devil. It's a found footage movie about the making of a live talk show, which I think they really did capture the like kinetic, chaotic energy of that, right? It's very plausible. Desmalchian, like you said, I think gives just I think one of my favorite performances of the year. This performance and Neil Tiger-Free, two of my favorite performances of the year. And I think what sets it apart for me is the gonzo crazy ending, because it's just throwing crazy stuff at you at the end, and I found that to be one of the most exciting parts. And we saw this movie very early in the year, and yet it still kind of resonates.
And I feel like that sort of like gonzo style, like almost close to being like giallo without all the gore, right? Is so perfectly placed in a movie that's pretending to be from the early 70s.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good shit. All right. Are we ready for
number one? So, yes, this is, we call this the come true award.
Yeah, it is come true. How'd you know?
Where every year John picks come true.
True. No, not this year. This year it is The Lake House. Starring So coming in at number one for my top horror movie of this year, probably not surprisingly, Oddity.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Directed by Damien McCarthy, and standout fucking performance by Carolyn Bracken. She was amazing. Probably my favorite performance of the year.
Yeah, this is good. So, my number one movie. Any guesses, John?
Come True. Is it Come True?
Come True. Yes, the Come True Award. All right. No, this one I had to go back and forth with. Like, I just couldn't pick a number one because it was a good year in horror, but like I did nothing really like, you know, announced itself, and it was just like my favorite movie of the year. But in retrospect and rewatching it, I also would have to say Oddity is my number one movie of the year.
I was 90 9% certain, but a 1% of me was like, are you going to say Mads?
Yeah. That's true. I did like that movie, but not, yeah, I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think it was a top five material. But yeah, I think we reviewed McCarthy's first movie, Caveat. It's a really, like, it was a fun, low budget, kind of charming movie. But now with his second movie, I feel like he has sort of returns to, like, unsettling mystery, has really, he's really good about making fun offbeat characters. And fun is not the right word, but, like, it's like they're interesting, they're compelling, they're a little off-centered from what you would consider all his characters have something kind of odd about them.
Yes.
Right? Oddity, right? But I think it's a movie with unique vision and scares. And I think it was probably, to me, my favorite movie we reviewed.
Yeah. So. No, agreed. Agreed. I was actually wondering, I was like, this might be the same list. And then, let me do an upset and say Trap, because I know you wouldn't put that on the list. And then I was wondering which one you were going to do. And I was like, yeah, First Omen makes sense.
Oh, First Omen, yeah. You left that one out, but you put Trap, right? That's the only difference in the placement. Basically, right? Yeah. Cool. So that was our top five movies of the year. So now we'll move over to our main review of Milk and Cereal. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
I do, but I just want to point out that they misspelled cereal, which is pretty embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Well, what do you... No, I fixed it. I fixed it in my notes. Okay, it's fine.
Good.
Yeah.
Coming in at number three for Johnny's five-word plot summary for Milk and Cereal. Guy pulls off killer prank.
Okay. You don't seem confident about that one, John.
No, no. I misspelled something. I was like, what the fuck does this say?
Oh, okay.
I like severely misspelled a word. So yeah, guy pulls off killer prank, which is just basically the premise of the movie. Coming in at number two, prankster influencers mimicking Jake Paul.
Okay, yeah.
And then coming in at number one for Milk and Cereal, guy named Milk, unsurprisingly problematic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like that.
What about Harvey Milk? You think Harvey Milk's problematic?
Well, here's the thing. The guy that portrayed him is kind of problematic.
Good point. Somebody, a character named Milk is problematic.
Yes.
Real Milk is...
So, kind of problematic, actually.
Okay. Milk and Cereal. It is a, it says here, 2024 movie. I am not familiar with these guys, but apparently they have a YouTube channel. I do not know what type of content they make. It only became sort of on our radar because this short, it's basically a short, right? Yeah. It's not a feature. Got a lot of buzz. It's something that is a little outside their wheelhouse, from what I gather. They're more of like a prank, funny comedy guys you typically find on YouTube. And this was a little outside of their wheelhouse. Yes.
I haven't seen their prank stuff, but they have, I think I follow them on Instagram. I forgot what their thing is called. But it's just like sketch comedy. She's like really short sketch comedy. Very reminiscent of, like, I'm not sure what to say, like Tim Robinson's sort of style. Mm. Like the Curry Baker, the guy that plays Milk, is just very much like, no, dude, like, this is how things are. And the guy's like, that's not at all. We're like, what are you talking about? Like that type of humor.
Right, yeah. A funny man, a straight guy, right? Like a.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But this movie got a lot of buzz, and also it is noted they cost $800 to make, according to them.
Which I'm also finding out that this guy kind of makes
a bunch of short films like that. There's a lot of them. I think I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4 other short horror films that they make.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but what'd you think?
Me? You want to go first? Great. I really liked it. I thought it was impressive.
Nice.
Yeah. For what they were able to do, I thought the looking at their everything, I thought the editing was really tight. I thought the you know the acting was pretty good, like in terms of like the characters that they're playing.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like found footage movies. I think you run into the same problem is like realistically you wouldn't be filming certain things. And I would say that they kind of go around it here a little bit. They do try to add a little bit of logic to it, which I did like. It made sense. And
I'm just saying you could go to jail, but if you get 1 billion views, I think that's like $1,000.
I think this movie does something like towards the middle of this movie that is the twist that I think I don't know if it like deflates the narrative, but it is an interesting perspective they take with it. Is that, you know what I mean? Like there's no, we kind of get what's going on and then it kind of twists it a little bit and it becomes like something else.
Yes.
Which was interesting.
I agree. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
But again, like I it goes back to my biggest issue being that like, I don't like found footage movies cause they're not like why would you continue to record certain things or question certain things? And, I don't think quite anybody's really figured out, off the top of my head, nobody's really quite figured out how to make that plausible. And I don't think Mel Caserio did either, but there's a lot to like about this.
Yeah, fair. Okay. I was going to say this kind of feels like across like the best parts of what was the name of that movie? It was like a play on Lyft and Uber where What's-His-Face from Stranger Things went around murdering people. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, we should. It's like a singular name, isn't it? Like,
yeah, and again, it's like a play on Lyft or something.
One of our earlier reviews.
That one and that other movie that would just fell super flat where the guy lied about having supernatural stuff in his apartment, then they're like, oh, what if it really was there but it wasn't?
Right, yeah, that's a review I did not particularly like. Yeah,
so this movie is the one we're reviewing right now is only an hour long and somehow did what those two movies tried to do better.
Yeah, exceptionally better, very like slick, professionally done. Short.
Sorry, I don't remember the names of the other two movies.
Just go ahead, go for it. Yeah, it's bothering me too.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to remember that other one. The Irish one, I don't know if I care to try to figure that one out. I know we reviewed it like at the beginning of the year too, I think.
But, right.
I don't even think I'm going to try. Unless you can... Death of a Vlogger.
Your favorite movie of the year. And the other one was...
Spree.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so you're going to say, like, the found footage thing is kind of bad. You don't like that because it's just not your favorite filmmaking...
it's just I don't believe that the people would if somebody's dying or like if people are so conscious of being recorded like and know how it can hurt you and the ramifications of it, right? So our culture is very familiar with that. So it's kind of like unbelievable to believe like this horrifying thing is happening and, oh, I'm still going to record something. Like it doesn't quite match up.
Yeah, there is like logically a pretty clever wraparound with the twist that kind of happens midway through the movie. So mm-hmm. one character is intentionally recording everything, which I'm mm-hmm. assuming. Well, I'll get into that in spoilers, but I have an assumption as to why.
Also, were we told, what are we watching? Are we watching a YouTube video? Are we watching on, like, how are we as the audience? What are we viewing? Is this unedited? Is this like something
towards the end? Two of the other characters from the group, because it's like, I guess everybody that works on these prank videos lives in the same apartment. Mm-hmm. They find they're looking for some DV tapes. So I'm assuming after they figure out what's going on, they go and find the DV tapes.
Mm-hmm. But I think you see how like Late Night with the Devil was, this is the unedited footage of this weird performance, right? Because we're giving a little preface as to what it is that we're actually watching, right? The unreleased footage of this horrible accident that happened on Night Owls or whatever, right? So I didn't know as an audience member how to view this. Does that make sense?
You know,
am I watching?
It's going to be probably a spoiler for some people, but I immediately related to this, to the movie Creep. So I just played it out that way in my head that eventually mm-hmm. somebody's going to put this together because it's, you know, sick individuals.
No, I totally can see the fact that I'm probably overthinking it. Right. I completely concede that. Yes. For what we're getting and what we're shown, it's a really good, you know, hour of a story they told, right? With a lot of great twists and turns and whatever, for the story that they were telling. But yeah, but it just the, cause they on the title it says from the mind of it says from on the title a found footage story or something, and it's I was I don't know what that means, you know what I mean, as a viewer. And again, I know I'm probably harping on it and I'm probably making a bigger deal about it than it should, and I can see that because I think found footage horror movie, right, or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm only seeing from the mind of Curry Baker, which he kind of puts on all his movies, I think.
I see, yeah. But I think that's the only thing is, the found footage aspect of it, I'm not sure this needed it, I think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's fair, yeah.
I think we're, audiences can have accepted single camera shot movies like this, a sort of POV shot movies without having to jump hurdles.
But the main drive of this thing is that they release prank videos. And that's right. That's their whole profession.
I think the twist is the twist part was yeah, I don't know. Maybe we can talk about that in spoilers. I don't know. I'll kind of relay my thought to you there.
Okay.
So, it involves the twist.
I will say I think the whole gimmick, I don't think the other movies he makes are like this. I think the whole, they're hanging off the idea that they have this footage because they make prank videos all the time. And I think you're supposed to also establish they're not well-liked people. But I never got mm-hmm. that part. That was kind of lost. But yeah.
Right.
You want to get into spoilers?
Wait! No, 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 stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers!
There was no cereal. There was no cereal in this movie at all.
But there is some cereal.
Whoa.
In that. Whoa. So essentially, like, it starts with just like a guy who's gonna prank his best friend on his birthday, right? And it's not quite established that it's like they prank each other all the time, but just that they just do it. They're having fun or whatever, and they had their friends involved. And in fact, I think they play a really mean prank on him on his birthday, right? They basically set up that there's like some random stranger gets invited to the party, and then he creates some sort of tension and then shoots one of their friends. But they go through this big elaborate like fake gun. They do squibs. They do like a whole production of it and stuff like that to play a prank on the Milk, who's it's the character's name for that's having a birthday.
Yes.
And
they call him Milk because he drinks like, a lot of milk.
He drinks a lot of milk.
That's it.
That's it. And then, but then that they go through with the prank, and he's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. And it seems pretty harmless. And then they get a knock at the door, and then there's kind of a weird guy, right? Like a weird, creepy guy that's like
older man who's like, yeah.
Who
seems perturbed by the amount of noise going on.
Right, says he has kids, and behaves very strangely. Like, he walks in the party, he walks through the whole room and looking at them, and then leaves. And that sort of kicks off like the other part of the story, where like I guess the party at this point is like kind of winding down, and Milk and them, they go to like 7-Eleven or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then when they're walking back, and the same guy's there, but Milk thinks this is like, oh, well, this is part of your guys' prank. You guys are still pranking, because he's just standing there creepily watching them with a hat. That was funny. And so like he like knocks over his hat and everything, and he's like, no, no, they're trying to convince him, like, no, no, we don't know. This guy's, it's a real thing and stuff. So and go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then that's not even the twist yet, right?
That's not even the twist. I was going to say, this is like, this whole thing is not even the twist, because then the man just shows up in their apartment the next morning, just sitting there, and he seems like he's just having like suicidal thoughts and stuff, and he seems really troubled.
A couple of things to note too, right? So the friend of Milk went and bought blanks from a guy off the black market or whatever. Because it's illegal to have blanks in California, which also the way he did the gun thing, and it's like, okay, how are they going to explain this? Because blanks in California, blanks in general, still shoot out a wad, right? It's not a bullet, but there's a wad, and that could pierce your skull. There's famously an actor who was like up and coming in the 80s or 90s, was fucking around and had like a gun with blanks and on set, and he was like, oh, look, everybody, and he shot himself in the head, and you know, he's like permanently like disabled.
Hmm.
But yeah, so just mentioning that sketchy guy they bought those rounds off of, this old man who's in the apartment somehow got in, even though the door was deadbolted and chain locked.
Hmm.
So it could be a ghost. I don't know.
Yeah. Where essentially he drugs them and kidnaps them and tells them that he wants to.
Real quick, how did you feel about
his hat? I hated it.
No, there's like, what, when the older man is like trying to kill himself in Milk's bedroom, he says stuff like, oh, it's because there's this woman inside my head, she talks to me and she wants to come out, but no, religion says it's bad, religion says it's bad. It was like,
I mean,
this is I think intentionally written to upset people.
Yeah, and it's written very like on the nose on purpose.
Yeah.
It was like, I thought they were trying to portray what I pictured it was like. They're just trying to portray the worst possible person they yes. could possibly imagine. But yeah, he essentially like wants somebody to go through. He wants to kill himself, and he says like one of you guys has to die, right? And then
oh yeah, drugs. Yeah, they're out in the middle of somewhere, right?
Right, the middle of somewhere. And who's filming it at this point? His friend, right? Or no? Or is it just like? Just standalone, just sitting there.
I think it's the old man has a camera.
Because he walks up to it and then he looks into it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
oh, no.
His friend gets free and rescues him by shooting the older man and dies.
Yeah, what, yeah, Milk throws dirt into his face. The old man shoots twice, and then his friend, I don't know, I guess his name is Cereal, right? Just kidding. His friend, it's like a Turner and Hooch situation, Tango and Cash.
pretty much, yeah.
Milk and Cereal. He shoots him and is freaking out because he just killed
him. Seven. Yeah.
Yeah, seven. Oh, that's right, yeah. Seven. That's right, because there's a whole thing about it later. That's right, yeah.
Right. And then he's dead, and then we get the real twist.
Milk was pranking him the whole time.
Milk? Yeah, but he... Would you consider it a prank?
No, so that's where it's like, oh, Milk was pranking him the whole time. That's not even the twist.
Yeah, no, that's not even the twist.
Basically,
yeah.
Basically go through this whole thing where he orchestrated this whole prank, and the day of his birthday when a random person was showing up to his house, the guy that Seven hired to pretend to get or shoot somebody, he was upset about it. Because he was having that old man come by because he met him. The old man was like delivering new mail, right? He was like a mailman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, are you an actor? He's like, yeah, man, what's up? So, yeah, the whole time it was a setup.
Yeah.
Except then we cut into Milk kidnapped his roommate's girlfriend. And we find out that he's right. actually a serial killer the whole time. And that's the fucking twist, finally. It's like, where's he
finally,
going?
Finally, yeah. Yeah, that he's... He the way he's a serial killer is kind of like he records himself doing these things and portraying it like, oh, I'm still going to get these guys and prank and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
and he's also upset at Seven. What he doesn't have access to the YouTube channel because Seven said you don't have any creativity.
So yeah, there's like this underpinning of a very combative relationship between them. Like, yes, they're trying to like prank and whatever, but there's still like this tension that's built in their relationship, right? Like, it's kind of very, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like toxic, kind of just like...
Yeah, kind of very toxic because, I mean, the whole... Their whole YouTube channel is just about how... horribly they can prank the other person. So
right.
To begin with, it is like on a, I'm not saying Jackass is lighthearted all the time, but you get that they just like to fuck with each other. And this one is, it's almost like how badly can I hurt this person and break this person?
Right.
You know, like
I was gonna say quickly. I don't think you remember this, but do you remember watching? Do you remember Practicum? They showed a video similar to this. Some guys made.
No, I don't think so.
It's super funny, but I remember this because we didn't always get so to explain right. And John and I in college, we would. Every, I don't know, Thursday or something, we would, or Friday, I don't remember. We would go to, it was part of our, we went to a TV film theater program, and they would have something called Practicum, which is where we would see directing projects from our student body or whatever, right? Like, you took a class and then you had to, like, direct a play and direct a scene. And so, and that would pretty much carry out for the whole year, because there's always like 10 to 15 projects or whatever. So, and I don't remember, you remember this, because I remember this, because these guys, I think, that were in Warren's class made a short movie, really short, and they wanted to show it at a practicum. And I always remember, because I thought it was a little, because like not a lot of people did that. Most people that did it were just there to complete an assignment, and then we were there because we were assigned to that class or whatever. Or sometimes we wanted to see our friends. We mostly wanted to see our friends, and a lot of times because we were involved with the projects that they're, you know, the other students were making. But it's almost the exact same premise, because it's about a group of friends that record themselves and prank themselves, only after they prank this one guy too much to where he eventually records himself and says, like, very tearfully says that, like, you know, I hate everything, blah, 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 he has all these problems. And then he, like, but at the end of it, there's like, oh, I killed myself. And something like that. At least he had suicide. And it's like a whole thing about pranking themselves. I'm pretty sure you don't remember this, I kind of remember this. Yeah, because it wasn't any of anybody we knew. It was literally these guys that did it by themselves and stuff. They just did it, but took Warren's class, one of his classes. I don't know which one. But they showed it. And of course it went over. I mean, a lot of that was, you know...
What was it called? Was it called...
I don't remember.
Leche Cereales or...
Leche Cereales. No, but I just think it's a funny idea, premise. It's like not exactly the same, but it was like the same setup. It's kind of the same, right?
And,
like,
unfortunately, from what I remember, probably didn't look nearly as good. So.
No. Of course not. Yeah. It did not look as good. But it was... It kind of went over like a wet fart, pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, it was very apathetic. A lot of the times, like, if you were popular and people liked you, then you got a lot of attention or applause. But if you weren't, then nobody said it did anything. Maybe they clapped, maybe, and that was it. Like, you know, it was very, like, clicky kind of thing and stuff like that. So they, of course, were not greeted warmly by... They were treated as outsiders, essentially. So I don't think anybody remembers this, but I remember seeing it and thinking like that. I didn't like it, but I thought that it just stuck with me. And so when I saw this, I was like, man, this is like exactly the same thing. So I know I sidetracked, but like, I just thought I'd bring that up.
No, that's okay. So honestly, the main twist is Milk is a serial killer. And through a series of, like, he just constantly tapes himself. He confesses that he was going to kill Seven next, but now that he killed his roommate's girlfriend too, finally, like, kept her alive in some random house. And he said, I didn't even think about this, but he'll be my seventh person killing, and his name is Seven. Like, oh, this is perfect. As he's like confessing that at the end, he turns and Seven happens to be there and shoots him in the head.
Yeah, essentially, like, he...
But he also gaslights the shit out of him the entire time, which was like really fucked. Like, makes Seven think he's losing his mind.
Yeah. Which is pretty twisted. I did like Curry Barker's like performance. Because he does come off as an odd guy.
Yeah.
does that make sense?
He's got a peculiar face, yes.
And then he kind of behaves very, like, I don't know. It's just, it's like he's cultivated this, like, look and sensibility when I'm sure the camera's on him, that I think probably why it leans comedic or horror, right? Like, two extremes. So, and in this case, I think it worked really well. I think it worked really well with this portrayal and stuff. So,
yeah, and everybody was super believable. Every single actor in this.
Yeah, I thought so too. And they do. I think it is very like twisty, the plot, but I think they keep it pretty simple to where it's more or less easy to follow.
Yeah,
it's not like there's any kind of like leaps in logic or anything. It's pretty solidly made movie. short movie. Yeah.
But yeah, that's our top five horror movies of.
But yeah, is there anything negative or anything you didn't like about it, the movie?
I don't think so. I mean, it is well, I mean, I'm not gonna say it's like my favorite thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't think it was bad at all. I do appreciate the writing, and I do appreciate how low budget it is and what they've been able to do with it. It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I don't know if I would be able to handle an hour and like a half of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to expand on what they did already. Yeah, I agree with that. I think one of the things I wanted to mention in spoilers was Milk's motivation, like, to record it. It's kind of like, I get that I understand that you can like kind of say like, well, he's a serial killer. He is probably so warped and twisted to think that this is how pranks are, right?
Well, he mentions things where he's like, oh, this is the best kill of this. Like, he does a couple of sound bites of him saying that. So my assumption was he was going to kill Seven and then kill himself, and then hopefully somebody would see the tapes and he would finally become famous. Because they were so hell-bent on views and shit at the beginning. Or he gets that guy to be a part of the prank, the older man, by showing him, like, that's my YouTube video, man. Like, check it out.
And really the commentary here is kind of like how there's like this one-upmanship. They have to do these extreme things to get views, to get popular, to get famous and stuff. And this is sort of the extreme take on it, that this guy became so twisted and involved with it that he became like a serial killer, which is why you brought up Spree, because it's kind of the same idea executed differently, you know, about a guy who's desperate to be on social media and be popular and stuff. And I don't necessarily think that's what was Milk's motivation per se.
No, because
there's like an under,
he's already killed five people before that. But he
kind of I almost feel like I kind of needed that to be fleshed out a little bit. Yeah, that whole, like, maybe what their dynamic and friendship was before we meet them. You know, it's fun to start where it starts, because it's like kind of like, oh, this is kind of like a jarring thing, right? With like these guys picking up squibs and doing this elaborate prank and stuff. So it kind of gives you an insight into what their world is like. But I would have liked, since they were friends, like, how did that develop? That should have been more developed. That was underdeveloped, their friendship, or what their partnership and what their dynamic was as a co-creators or content creators. So I think if there was a little bit more explanation as to what that relationship was, that would have, I think, resonated a bit more with the movie and stuff like that. Because how well did he know Milk? Did he grow up with him? Did he just meet him in LA? Did he just, you know what I mean? Like, what, like, for him not to know Milk being this, had this other kind of sinister side is, I think, kind of like a, I don't know, not a plot hole, but like kind of like something that was underdeveloped.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about Seven knowing that part of his life. Serial killers notoriously in like actual history, nobody knew about them until it was too late. Right.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
Like John Wayne Gacy was walking around as a clown for kids and nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Donald, no, you're absolutely Donald right.
Trump,
yeah.
Walks around with fake hair. I mean, we all know.
He's a petter ass. But yeah, no, I agree. I almost wanted to know more about them and what their relationship was. Why Milk wanted to do these things with him? Because he kind of does, like you said, gaslights him and manipulates him. I only assumed it was because Seven maybe Milk took these things too personal that he did, or maybe he's pranking up too much. Those are just my assumptions as the viewer, right? That like maybe he just pushed him too far. Did he push him into this? Was he always like this? You know, like,
yeah.
And was he always kind of like
not just the whole like he doesn't think I'm creative. Because I guess it is a big deal. He got locked out of his own channel. Like, he can't even upload or do anything on the YouTube channel. He can only look at it.
Hmm. So it's almost like he's kind of like the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
So. Yeah. That would be my only, like, kind of criticism of the movie. But I think they intentionally left it, did it that way because he wanted to do all these reveals. Like all these, like the way they told the story was, it wouldn't suit the story they were trying to tell.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that's smoking cereal.
Smoking cereal?
Yeah, smoking cereal.
Okay. Alrighty. Are you ready to rate this, John?
Yes.
How many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Milk and Cereal 5.5 sexy spooky bones.
Okay. All right. I almost want to give it a 7, but I think I'm gonna give it a 6. I liked it enough. It was fine.
Yeah.
And you were like middle of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm not gonna put this on a rotation. Does that make sense? I saw it. Cool.
It's not part of your blunt rotation.
No.
Right? No.
Not going to the left. No.
It's like rare exports come true.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Alright, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.
Raised, I got hell, happy new year, got some more.